It was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have fought a duel with deadly weapons within this state or out of it. Today's title is Abraham Lincoln, Not My President. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. And with me is the man who always says that you can't spell communication without you. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
I was just saying that to myself as I got ready to come here this morning.
Yeah, who wasn't?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're finally talking about Abraham Lincoln. It's Old Kentucky Tales, Brent. It's time for some Abe.
That's right. Episode 7 is Abe's Time to Shine. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, we will look at fake news past and present. And for our main event, we will examine the election of 1860 and how Kentuckians voted in it. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales.
Now, what's my cut of the fake money that you've been getting from these sponsors?
That is at least 80-20, right?
Oh, okay.
Or maybe 60-40.
Depends what you mean by that, yeah.
Who gets the 80, who gets the 20? Because the fake money, you know, you can start throwing that around in the bedroom. That's right. For yesterday's news, we have seen about the war on news and what news is fake.
I don't believe anything that I'm watching.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, right?
I've got to watch like 4 or 5 channels to kind of average it out in my mind.
Well, that's it. And it was the same, though. That's not just today's problem. That's actually a good feeling.
Yeah.
If we go back and look at the past, we can see that they had the same kinds of problems way back in, say, 1909. And we saw that. We had a guy in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. He was the Adjutant General of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the National Guard kind of commander.
Oh, okay.
And
a major Kentucky kind of like the militia or the military for Kentucky.
Yeah. And he did not like how he was being handled in the media. In particular, they had a Louisville publication called The Focus, and they started running these articles, and they were replacing his name. His name was Philip Johnson. Okay. They started saying Peacock Johnson.
Peacock Johnson.
Instead of Philip Johnson. Pretty catchy. You could see maybe a super biased news outlet might do that today, or maybe not news, but talk radio or something like that.
Just something to aggravate them, get under their skin a little bit.
Exactly right. Except that in 1909, you can't get away with that.
Okay.
So he burst into the office and just beat the guy up.
Yeah. He beat up like the editor of the newspaper?
The editor, 100% right.
Okay.
And his name was Danny B. Good.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is kind of a funny name.
Right.
And
so Danny B. Good got beat up by Peacock Johnson.
That's exactly what's going on.
I saw this fight like in the 80s. Peacock Johnson, he fought out of
WWE.
Minnesota, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this was a WWE match
like
back in the 80s.
Johnny B. Good
versus the Peacock. That's right. In tonight's main event match.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So he punches the guy. He's mad.
Yeah. Okay. And then he wound up being indicted and having to go through the whole court thing. But to make you feel better, might have been worse way back then. Because at least now they don't hit each other. They just call each other fake.
Right. Well, but like in the last episode, we talked about, you know, the woman got shot in a thigh. Sheriff came out and determined, well, it all worked out fairly. She deserved that. In this case, would somebody take a look at this and say, well, we're not going to charge him because I would reasonably also be mad if somebody ridiculed me in the newspaper. You know what I mean?
Well, that's right. I don't know exactly how this story turned out. But,
okay.
But when you go into the courts, it just depends on what the jury says.
Right.
You get a jury of your peers. And so 1909 Kentuckians might say, hey, I'd punch the guy too.
Exactly.
We're going to let him walk.
Mm-hmm.
That could absolutely happen.
It almost seemed a little bit more fair in those days, even if kind of life was a little bit more dangerous at the same time.
But it could also be arbitrary. And that's actually the same kind of stuff that started a lot of the feuds in Eastern Kentucky.
Oh, now you're on to something else there. Now you're on to the feuding.
Yeah, well, another story for another time.
Yeah. To come, right? Are we going to get into some Wakefields? Are we going to get into the McCoys?
If we do an episode or a season two.
Yeah,
gonna need a whole second season for that, because right now I don't think we've got the time for it. And speaking of not having the time for it, it's already the moment at which we've got to pause for a word from our sponsors.
Since the election is over, the next thing is hog killing time. We have everything you will need for this occasion except the hogs. Scalding tubs, lard kettles, lard cans, butcher knives, sticking knives, Enterprise sausage mills, Enterprise lard presses, Enterprise sausage stuffers, Ohio River salt, Forbes Manufacturing Company, Incorporated.
So, Jason, do you think you could just slit a hog's throat?
It depends on the hog.
What he did to you that morning, or
yeah.
What?
If he developed a nickname for me that got put in the newspaper and everybody started calling me Peacock, maybe.
That does make sense.
This seems like an advertisement that is kind of like feeding off of people's, you know, kind of exhaustion with elections. It's saying, you know, all that's over with now. Now it's fall. It's late in the fall, and it's time for us to kill our hogs and scald them and lard them and everything that we can do for our meat supply.
Sure. Your attention's been focused on the election.
Correct.
Now it's over, out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get ourselves some lard cans, butcher knives, and sticking knives, and go to town.
Right.
Because it's cold, and you have to kill the hog when it's cold.
Well,
can't do it in the summertime.
Is that to help the hog get through it? What does that mean?
It's to preserve the meat.
Oh, okay.
You just can't do this all in the it's wintertime is when we would traditionally do it.
Okay, well, that doesn't help the hog at all. No, of course I couldn't do this. I get my hog at Kroger's. That's where I get my hog.
Yeah, and it's in a nice, neat package. You don't have to think about it. You got to love the 21st
century.
I
never think about it, yeah.
No, you don't want to, right? Not supposed to watch laws being made. You're not supposed to watch sausage being made.
Yeah.
That's the professional wisdom out there. Time for the main event.
Okay, good.
And that is?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln finally has made an appearance.
Okay.
The 1860 election. The 1860 election was a big mess. We had four major candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And different parts of the country, this is right on the eve of the Civil War, different parts of the country wanted different things. They wanted different things out of these candidates. So today we look at Abraham Lincoln, and the very first thing that you see on the way into the state is, welcome to Kentucky, the bluegrass state, birthplace of Abraham Lincoln.
Right. We do claim Abraham Lincoln. He was born here.
We do, along with Indiana and Illinois. All three states claim him.
And now what?
As their own.
What does Indiana have to do with
Lincoln? He lived there for a very short period of time.
Oh.
As a boy, he lived there. Before ultimately moving on to Illinois, where he made his career and made his name. But in this election, we did not want Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, it looks like that, like you said before, that like parts of the country kind of picked their own person. Now, here's a question. If they hadn't done that and they'd all gotten around one opponent, would Abraham Lincoln have been elected?
That is a great question. It's a matter of speculation, of course.
True.
If
might have affected, actually, how people did vote.
It would have affected it because there were splits in this vote.
Right.
There's a four-way split in this vote, really. Or maybe more accurately, it's a three-way split in the anti-Lincoln vote. So,
right.
So if you wanted a candidate other than Lincoln, which Kentucky did. Kentucky did not vote with Lincoln either time for election or for re-election.
Okay.
If you looked at Stephen A. Douglas, he had enough popular votes that you think maybe he could have won it, because he was a moderate northern presence.
If he'd been the only candidate against Lincoln.
Yeah, yeah, you would think maybe that's a possibility. If the Democrats had united around him, they did not.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, the Southern Democrats went with John C. Breckinridge, who was also from Kentucky, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had two major candidates in that election. Kentucky wanted the Constitutional Union Party, which was a third party kind of moderate thing.
Okay.
And so we, like the other border states, simply said, let's just calm down on both sides, mm-hmm. and kind of go a little bit more moderate on this.
Here's a really good professorial type question for you.
Yeah.
Do people have a sense of, if you look at this, like when they're voting, then do they think, well, Abraham Lincoln is going to win? It's inevitable. Or did you people, the ordinary average person in any state, when they voted, thought, I have no idea where this is going? And then they found out sometime later. They weren't able to get information that quickly, right? Who even was there a poll? Was there any indication like that other than just newspaper opinion pages and just chatter among the people?
Yeah, I have not seen polls from that era.
Okay.
So I don't know that they don't exist, but I have not seen them.
I guess what I'm asking is, did it come as a surprise to the country that Abraham Lincoln won?
I bet it did, because as we know, even in 2016 and 2017, even if we have all the information and we have all the polls,
mm-hmm.
sometimes election night is just a little different than you anticipated into it. So
with
I'm going to say
that the information we have, we've been surprised.
Sure, we have, and I'm going to say that's probably what you're looking at there.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if we just sort of think about that logically, the reaction to Lincoln's election is the Civil War.
Correct.
Because as soon as South Carolina saw that Lincoln was the candidate, that's when they mobilized mm-hmm. the secession movement. And that was their plan B. Plan A is, let's elect John C. Breckinridge or somebody. Plan B is, if this guy wins, we quit.
Yeah, that's another thing that was consciously on people's minds, right? They
yeah.
knew that was probably going to happen. If Lincoln gets elected, we're headed somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. And that had been building for a couple of decades. That
right.
whole idea had been building. This is the final straw. So as soon as they said Lincoln, they said, not my president.
Right.
We are out of here.
And is it because, like you said, it's been building and then Abraham Lincoln comes along, is he just fervently anti-slavery?
That's
so you get that kind of candidate and you just think, oh, if he gets elected, we're out of here.
That, sir, is the question of the day.
Okay.
That is the way Southerners viewed him. He had said things before like that we could not exist permanently half slave and half free. So if you're in the South, you're looking at that and you're saying, oh, he wants to get rid of slavery.
Exactly.
You're reading between the lines on that. Now, his official position is more nuanced. He is really against the spread of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So he will tell you, he told you actually on Inauguration Day, still trying to make peace, that what they wanted to do was not go in and get rid of slavery, not touch it where it was,
mm-hmm.
but they did not want it to spread. So the Republican Party, they kind of saw it as a cancer. And if you can spread or stop the spread of cancer, then you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the South did want it to spread. They want it to go into as many of the territories as possible. If you look at that map, you see all those territories that are up for grabs.
Right.
Are those going to be free? Are they going to be slave? That
yeah,
was one of our big questions.
Correct. Right. They had to do kind of little deals along the way about
they
how much
did
more
do
we'll
that.
Let in.
They did do that. And then some events came along that actually threw out all of the old deals, mm-hmm. and that put us right back at square one. And the South sees this as Republicans, Lincoln, unacceptable.
Right.
And if he's in, we're out. And we can actually see that in Kentucky. Now, Kentucky voted moderate on this. We didn't go with Breckinridge, but we also didn't go with Lincoln. We would never have gone with Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And you can see right there, we've got the election outcomes for each Kentucky county.
So the Kentucky, I think you said before, voted for the Constitutional Union candidate.
Yes, John Bell. He was from Tennessee, so that's another kind of middle ground mm-hmm. candidate.
So who was that guy? How was he? Was he famous or somehow public service before this?
I don't know a lot about him. I think he was something like the governor of Tennessee at one point.
Okay.
But he shared the same viewpoint that we need not to make a whole lot of changes in things. So we just want to keep things kind of the way they are, just sort of keep our social compact as it is.
Right.
And if we look at it.
Keep the union together.
Yes.
You're right.
The union's the most important thing. So if that means we have to live and let live on slavery and okay, well, that's all fine. And so the border states like that because if there's going to be a war, it's going to be in the border states.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and you're right. So then Kentucky did really vote for the moderate position.
Sure, sure. So Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, these are the places interested in that candidate. The North is interested in Lincoln. The Deep South is interested in John C. Breckinridge. Mm-hmm. Nobody is really interested in Stephen A. Douglas, which is kind of the funny thing.
Yeah. Now, this is the guy that Lincoln famously debated.
Yeah, and he actually lost that election to him. When those debates happened.
That's right.
That was an office in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe without those candidates.
Kind of made his name as a speaker. His political views and just kind of his amiable style, I think, became more of a national headline.
Lincoln became a star in that loss.
Mm-hmm.
That happens every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You lose one election, but then you're on people's mind for the next one. That's what happened here. But not in Kentucky, though.
Right.
In Kentucky, if we start looking at this list, we see in Ballard County, Lincoln got one vote.
One vote, yeah.
That's the whole county, Ballard County. If we go to Callaway County, zero votes. So not one Callaway County vote for Abraham Lincoln. And remember, Lincoln is a known quantity in Kentucky. Not Western Kentucky, but in Eastern Kentucky, the Lincoln family had lived there for a long time.
Okay.
None of that mattered, though.
Right.
None of that mattered because it was the politics of it. So there was no favorite son kind of thing happening here at all.
Yeah, it looks like Western Kentucky really did not ever cast a vote. Like you said, one in Ballard County.
Right. Zero in McCracken County.
I'm starting to think that one vote in Ballard County may have just been an error.
Somebody marked the wrong thing.
Right.
There was a closet Republican there or something because they were all Democrats for sure. Even in, let's say you go to a metropolitan area or it's kind of pre-metropolitan at this point, Louisville, Kentucky, and you see there Jefferson County, 105 votes in the whole county.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really small total.
Yeah, I have about 8,000 other votes.
Yes.
Even Lincoln County, I got four votes. Now, was there a Lincoln County before there was an Abraham Lincoln? It must have been named for somebody.
I don't know the history. We have 120 counties. I don't know where they got their name. It's probably Benjamin Lincoln, though.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I think that is Benjamin Lincoln. And so he's like an old Revolutionary War mm-hmm. hero. Oh. I would look that up just to be on the safe side.
Right.
Don't take our word for it here.
Okay.
We are only
This is way back, too. Names probably have come and gone. Maybe some, I don't know if counties have disappeared.
Yeah.
But certainly counties have been created. Carlisle County is not on this list, but it was created out of Ballard County not long after, I guess.
Right. We used to add counties a lot back then. And also, Western Kentucky is a little bit different. It's funny, because of the way the rivers run, Western Kentucky has got roots with the Deep South,
mm-hmm.
whereas the rest of Kentucky has other roots, so Mid-South or maybe even Pennsylvania, Ohio. So we were even more anti-Lincoln than some of these other places.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not want him as our president. He was our fourth and final choice in Kentucky. But now we love him. And now it is time to pay a few more bills. And so for that, we turn to A Fur Sale by Lowenthal's. Tuesday, October 28th. The finest and newest in fur fashions are here in Hazard, way up in the mountains, for you at special prices at the Johnson Department Store. So they've got a lot of outstanding values. Mm-hmm. Natural mink stoles, $345.
That has got to be a huge amount of money then.
Yeah, it was. Now, this is a little more recent. This is from the mid-20th century, but still, you're going to be out a lot of money there mm-hmm. for that particular thing. It's a luxury item.
Interesting how that was so in fashion, such a status symbol too.
Oh, or, yeah.
Not just that, but just an article of fashion.
Symbolic.
To be dressed in fur.
Symbolic. If you've got money, this is a way to show it off. That's 100% correct. Dyed squirrel stoles.
Now what? Yes, dyed muskrat jackets.
Yeah, now that one puzzles
exactly?
me a little bit.
Yeah, me too. What's a muskrat?
A muskrat is a little woodland creature.
Yes.
But he's known for a really bad smell.
Oh.
And so I guess you clean it up really well and then the fur is okay still?
Yeah. It must be beautiful.
Got to look good because you've got to get past the fact. This is like today you've got a skunk as your coat.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a little weird for people.
And you don't want to tell people that.
Maybe
what
not.
What is that? What is that? Oh, it's muskrat.
Yeah, natural muskrat.
Natural muskrat.
Of course. Only the finest muskrat for me and my family. You have got that right. You've got that right. We are ready for our big takeaway for today.
Oh.
Out of all the Lincoln stuff, what's your biggest takeaway?
I think probably just what we talked about, how there were so many candidates in that election that people didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew that Lincoln's election would result in something serious. Very serious. It was going to change, and that needed to happen.
Yeah, for me, I think the four-candidate thing is a good takeaway there because that put a lot of uncertainty in there. There's moving parts. It's not binary this or that. Mm-hmm. It's anything really could happen, and then anything did happen.
Right.
Once that became the actual result. Though, we have turned to the final page of this chapter.
Okay.
But not to worry. Are you worried, Jason?
I'm not. You know, right now, I feel really good.
I bet you do.
We're done.
We are done.
Just a coincidence.
Sure. We'll be back when Back in the Day is new, and we'll have more old Kentucky tales for you. Special thanks to our sound engineer, Todd Birdsong, the Paducah School of Art and Design, and WKMS. And the rest is history.